Let me invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. It has been recorded in the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter. I shall begin reading with the 4th verse. And now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the 6th hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews had no association with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into everlasting life." Amen. Let's bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a perfect afternoon for a drive. You pile the family in the automobile and drive out into the country. That's lovely. Scenery is beautiful. The conversation is good. A love and a warmth permeates that family such as they experience very few times. They're having such a tremendous time together. But all of a sudden the car begins to jerk, the motor sputters, and it dies. And you let that car creep to a halt. And with some agitation and frustration, you get out of the car to see what's wrong. And as you raise the hood, you know that the battery's all right. You've tried the horn and it works and the lights come on. You remember just last week you had the motor tuned and the mechanic told you everything was in good shape. But after a futile search, you happen to glance at the gas gauge and the needle is pointing to E. You have run out of gas. What a mess. Man, the tires are in perfect condition. There's not a scratch on the paint. The upholstery is good. The battery is charged. The motor is tuned. But the car won't go because it has an empty gas tank. Did you know that our lives can be like that? We can be well educated. We can be cultured and affluent. We can have beautiful families and a spacious home and a good profession. And our lives can be hollow and meaningless and empty. And we can't go anywhere. And all of these things that we have don't mean anything at all. You know, our lives do get empty. And we have to fill them up. We look at our lives this morning and we can identify some conditions that speak to our emptiness and describe it. For one thing, there's the appalling aimlessness of so much human life that is all around us. You know, the road from the cradle to the grave is full of people rushing around here and there with no purpose and no meaning in life. They rush here and there, restlessly preoccupied, having conflicting desires, absorbed in money-making or love-making or war-making or peace-making or career-making. But in spite of it all, they are listless and bored and unhappy, and they are empty. You know, indeed, if a man has no ultimate scale of values to give meaning to his life, if deep in our heart there is not a throne where certain convictions hold unchallenged sway, if earth to earth and dust to dust and ashes to ashes is the final word, then life is pathetically hollow and our lives are empty. Another condition that describes our emptiness is the emptiness of formality. I know your works declared the Christ of Revelation to the church at Sardis. You have a name that you are living, but you are dead, and you are empty. If you found a church that had no expectancy in its prayers, no warmth and welcome in its fellowship, no fire and passion for the work of the Lord, no sense of being lost in wonder and love and grace before the mighty acts of God's redeeming grace, no blaze of missionary zeal, what would you say of that church? You'd say it's empty. And you would be right. Nothing would be there but formality to give the purpose of life. But it would be empty. The scriptures describe another kind of emptiness. It says you are dead in trespasses and sins. We know it is true in the realm of nature. A thing that is left lying idle and unused will decay. That is also true in the realm of our faith. You let a man neglect conscience long enough, conscience will cease to speak. You let a man persistently disregard his faculties for God, and little by little that faculty will shrivel up and die. You let a man give himself to evil practices and habits, and gradually he will become insensitive to God. Verily, said Jesus, in one deep verdict, they have their reward, and they end up chained to that worthless thing, and their lives are empty and few. Now, how do we go about trying to fill up this emptiness that haunts us? Man, the man that is haunted by aimlessness, he tries to find a new life by adding one new sensation after another and plunging even deeper into the life's distractions. He discovers there's no satisfaction in that. The church that is empty because of formality tries to find new life by multiplying its activities or its program or adding more staff people. They discover that there's no satisfaction in that. Man who is dead in trespasses and sin will try to cover his life with a veneer of good works. And he discovers that there is no life. For all of our activity, our lives continue to be hollow and meaningless and empty. You see, there is only one way to fill up the emptiness in our lives. And that is to bring our lives to Jesus Christ. And when we bring our lives to Him, we discover that He fills us up with Himself. In the scripture we read this morning, Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem, and He had to pass through Samaria. He was tired, and He sat down by a well while His disciples had gone into the village to buy food. A Samaritan woman came, and He asked her for a drink of water. She was utterly amazed that this Jew would ask her, who was a Samaritan, to do anything. And Jesus responded, "Woman, if you had known who it was who had asked you, you could ask me." And suddenly in the midst of the conversation, it is revealed to us that here is a woman whose life was empty. And Jesus gave her the truth that would fill her up. "Whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst again. Indeed, the water that I give will become a spring of water welling up into everlasting life." And the woman drank, and her emptiness was filled up with the Lord Jesus. The truth of that is made real in this table that has been prepared for us. As we come to eat the bread and drink the cup, in reality we are drinking from the well that will never run dry. For we are drinking from the Lord Jesus Himself. And He comes to fill us up with the wonder of His own presence. And when He fills us up, He sets us free. To our aimlessness, He gives direction and purpose. Our formality, He fires it with the wind of His Holy Spirit. Our sins, He forgives us and we become a new creation in Him. Let me ask you this morning, how is it with you? Is your life out of control? You've made plans and none of your plans seem to be working out very well. There's a broken relationship, and that broken relationship continues to fester because you are not willing to forgive and you are not willing to take the first step in bringing healing and reconciliation. Your life is hollow, has no meaning to it at all, and you're empty. This morning you can bring your empty life. You can put it in the hands of the Lord. He will offer you a drink. As you eat the bread, if you drink the cup, you will find yourself being filled up by Him, and your tank will never be empty again. And you can go and go and go and go, running on a full tank, because you are going on the Lord Jesus Himself. As we come this morning to this table, would you take your life with all of its hurts and all of its warts and all of its emptiness, put it in His hands, and drink from the well that will not run dry, and have your lives filled up.